Welcome to another Carlo and Lades Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
And I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, today we've got a special guest, Andrew Lloyd, who won the 1990 Commonwealth Games 5,000 metres, which was, in my opinion, one of the greatest sporting events. Welcome to the show, Andrew.
G'day, guys. How you going?
Good.
Very good. Thank you for coming on our program. We've got running royalty here, Robert. I know you're very excited. We've discussed our greatest sporting moments, and this was a great sporting moment. I was there that day, believe it or not, Andrew, a meathead thrower cheering on a runner. But it was a great day, and certainly Rob's one of Rob's greatest memories. So thank you for being part of our show.
Yeah, no problems.
Now, early in that particular run, to set the scene, it was there was a little bit of a fall, and John Ngugi, who the great Kenyan runner, who's won four times world cross-country champion, and he was a favourite for this event, and he took a tumble with a couple of others, and I think you may have even got spiked yourself, and he fell behind the whole pack, and then he charged ahead, and he led sort of by quite a big distance for the second half of the race. What happened in that the tumble initially?
I was actually right at the back of the pack, and I didn't actually see him go down, but I actually ended up hurtling over him. So it was a pretty dirty race, to be quite honest. There was a lot of pushing and shoving, and people running up on each other. And I didn't realise what happened. Then he bolted right past us. I thought, oh, yeah, here we go, because I watched him win the Olympic 5,000 metres in Seoul, and that's what he did. He'd do a surge every so often and just blow everyone away. And I thought he's going to do the same again. But yeah, it was a tight race. There was a lot of good runners in there too. You had Joop John Deeke, who was the world record holder for 5,000 metres. You had the European champion, what's his name? He's from England. You had Mark Rowlands, who was a bronze Olympic medalist in the 3,000 metres. There was a number of other guys in there who were really top shelf, so it was going to be a hard race regardless. But the race, the way it went, is I was always sitting back and watching what was going on up front, trying to keep out of the mess. I ended up getting pretty hard spikes right to the bone as well. I drew blood. But it was part and parcel of racing, I suppose. But the race with Joves, he just cleared out and left the rest of us wailing behind, and it was the form two groups behind Joves. The first group was Mark Rowlands and a guy from Canada who was, I forget his name too, a long time ago. And then there was another big break for us between New Zealander Kerry Rogers, myself, Tanui, Hamer, Ian Hamer, and I think there was someone else in there. And we were following behind. It wasn't until the last three laps that we started to close in a little bit on the second group, but we weren't making any headways on Joves and Deeke. Until the last lap and a half, we joined up to the second group, and we all started, Kerry Rogers started pushing the pace, trying to pick up Joves and Deeke. But it was a big call. It was like, we all had to go. We were about 45 metres down, which is a big gap to try and bridge in a track race with one lap to go. But we gave it a go, and the guys all fired up and come around the back straight. I think Tanui took off first, followed by Hamer, then myself. Tanui blew away, then we went past him, and it was Hamer on the last back bend where I finally got past Hamer, and then I saw Joves on there. Sorry, Tanui, not Tanui, Ngugi. Saw him down the straight, and I thought, well, give it all I've got, and the old saying was, bugger silver, I'm going for gold. I went straight to the line, and I just got it, just pipped him. I thought I was going to run out of runway for one stage.
Well, with one lap to go, as you say, John Ngugi had like a 50-metre lead on all you guys, and there was a pack of six runners, and you were in the middle of that pack. And then it was around about, with 200 metres to go, that the Welshman Ian Hamer made his charge, and you went with him and just tucked in, and then when there's about 50 metres left, you charged past him. And what was your thinking? Obviously, you were looking for silver, but when did you know that you were going to get John Ngugi for the gold medal?
Wasn't actually till the line, because I knew I was picking him up pretty quick, and I thought, I'm going to run out of track here very shortly, and I really had to put the pace down hard, and I didn't know if I was going to get there in time or not, and as it panned out, I just did it. But it was a touch and go, I tell you.
No, it was magnificent. And what was, you did the old sprinter chest as you went over the line. What was that in Ada? Was that just, you felt it was that close?
Yeah, I thought it was that close, and I wasn't going to lose by a bloody chest half an inch or whatever. Yeah. And my old coach always said, the race is not finished until you cross that line. So I made sure I crossed that line as best I could.
Andrew, what do you remember? I mean, I know you obviously, I think the middle distance stuff creates a real theatre. And I mean, I was a young bloke at the time. A group of us went around to the 1500 metre start so we could cheer you on. And you don't really get, in most track and field events, you don't get that buy-in from the crowd because you guys are out there for many laps and the story's unfolding. And this was, and we could actually think, hang on, you've got a chance here. And not maybe not just yourself, but the whole group of runners. And I just remember the crowd were slowly building in their noise and their cheering and their encouragement. And that last lap was, I remember it being absolutely deafening down that back straight. Do you pick that up? Do you get that feeling from them?
Yeah, I could hear the crowds going a bit wild. And when I was concentrating on trying to win the race, but you still hear that background thing and you realise, geez, it's getting louder and louder. The roars are getting better and coming down the home straight. There was cheering and screaming. It was just a funny feeling, but I wasn't really absorbing it. It was in the background for me, but after I finished, then I realised what I'd done. Then it was just a moment of silence in myself, just thinking, geez, I've done something. So it was great. But yeah, the lap of honour was, the jog around the track, that was a great feeling too, because everyone's still standing up and clapping and carrying on, so it was great.
And carrying the boxing kangaroo flag around, sort of, what did that mean to you?
Well, I was never born in Australia, but I consider myself an Australian, and to me, I was one of the proudest moments of my life. I'm a dinky guy Australian, and I believe in Australia, it's the greatest country in the world, and you should know, because you've been over the seas and seen other countries, we have the best country in the world.
There's no doubt about that.
To do something for the country was fantastic.
Now, I don't know if you're aware, but the Commonwealth gold medal for the 5,000 has only ever been won once by an Australian, and that was by you. It's been won by some fantastic runners like Steve Ovett from England and Henry Rayner from Kenya. And in fact, Kenya's won it 7 times. So the fact that you beat the Kenyan is really unusual.
Oh, look, it was funny after that. I went and did a couple of track races over in Europe and I was in a hotel there and I walk out the door and these Kenyans, I didn't know who they were, they're just looking at me and walk back in their room and they come out and have another look at me. I'm going, what's going on here? So I think the white guy beating the Kenyans went back to Kenya for a while and they all want to know who I was. But it was funny at the time, but these guys just keep on looking at you. That was part and parcel of beating the
Googie,
I think.
And that's probably, I think Commonwealth Games sometimes unfairly gets, I mean, I'd be honest and say in the field events, we certainly, it's a reprieve for us because we're not up against the real powerhouses. But you guys don't get any reprieve because really in the middle distance stuff, you've got all the you've got the Kenyans and the other Africans there. And also we think about the sprinters and you got also middle distance, the English runners and even the sprints with the Jamaicans and so on. So the track athletes really get it's a hard competition. So that was certainly just as big a field as any other Olympics or World Championships.
Oh, yeah, when you think about, they only send 3 Kenyans, but they could have sent 20. That's how strong they are. And only the best of the best get there. So, we're always up against them. Every time we race, even on a I used to do a lot of road racing as well overseas, and you're always battling with the Kenyans. So they're very, very, very strong middle and long distance runners. And even the 800, they're fantastic at as well.
Are you a little bit surprised that that particular race on YouTube has been seen countless times? Does that surprise you at all?
Yes, it does. So I checked out once and I thought, I'll just check it out, see what's all the hype about. And then it was something like 100,000 or 200,000 hits or something. I'm going, Jesus, that's a lot of people. But yeah, it did surprise me.
I'm going to be honest and say I did watch it again on the weekend, and I've watched it a few times actually, but it still brought goosebumps for me just again watching you run. But the other thing that I thought was amazing was Steve Monteghetti was doing the announcing. And, you know, I don't, you've probably heard it a few times, but yeah. Lloydie, Andrew Lloyd, Lloydie. And it was fabulous just listening to him as you come around sort of from the 150 through to the finish line. And I think, you know, with everyone, like, I remember on the day realising, Lloydie's going to bloody win this. And we just got louder and louder. And then listening to the comment, which I have, I've listened to it, watched it a few times, and I always get a bit of a laugh listening to Monteghetti and his comments.
Yeah, well, mine is, we used to race a lot on the track, and he was always a sitting duck with one lap to go, so he knew what I was capable of. He's probably happy seeing someone else cop it. But yeah, we used to do a lot of racing together, so yeah.
Now, of course, Andrew, you've won many other races in your career, including the City of Surf in Sydney and numerous times, and you had a bad car accident a couple of years beforehand where you did an ankle and arm. What was the determination for your recovery to get back and compete again at the Commonwealth Games?
I spent, I don't know how many weeks or so, it was about 6 or 8 weeks in hospital. I woke up with half my body in plaster. I remember the surgeon coming back up to me and saying, right, we've got to set your arm, you're not going to have any use of that arm anymore. You're lucky we saved it, the nerve didn't get crushed. So I said, we're going to set it in his eating position. I said, no, set it in running position. And he said, well, I don't think you'll ever be able to run again, because your ankle was broken right off and a few other things. And I said, no, I'm going to give it one more go. And I was here, you know, I was lying in bed. You know, I lost my wife in a car accident. You know, and all I could think of was, there's always someone else worse off than you. And I wasn't going to wallow in my own misery. I was going to get up and do something with my life. And what I had to make the best of it, and that's how it happened. And it took me, well, actually 13 months later, I won the City of Surf again. So, with pins and bolts in my ankle. Ooh. It hurt like shit.
You would have had a bit of trouble getting through the airport them days.
I had a number of operations. See, from 1985 to 1990, a lot of people don't realise that, about 10 operations for corrective surgery. And that, as you're an athlete and you're on the fine line when you're super fit, it does take a toll. I remember trying to get back a number of times, I almost threw the towel in, because I had to start from scratch again. So it was a very hard and mental journey I took for 5 years, and it paid off in the end.
And at the end, after those Commonwealth Games, I mean, I guess it's just, I'm sort of lost for words. I'm just thinking, what a great story. And I mean, I'm a teacher here, and we talk to kids about resilience and grit, and you personify that. But in terms of just putting that in context, what did it feel like after that? You know, I guess when it finally sunk in, and maybe a few days later, or even months later, in terms of all the hard road that you had previous.
Oh, look, just satisfaction. I think personal satisfaction, something you very rarely feel. And for me, it was just, I went for a run the next day by myself. Just went for a slow jog, and I started thinking about my whole life, how much I had to put up with, and what I lost, and the effort I put in, and I thought, I wouldn't have changed a thing. You know, I was happy. You know, I always say, if I could die tomorrow, I'm happy with what I've done in my life, so. Yeah, it was a very emotional and hard time as well. It wasn't always plain sailing. I know I had to have I had a few mental issues as well, which no one knew about as well. So I had to see a few doctors, and yeah, so it was very hard. But at the end, I came through. That was amazing.
And you came through with flying colours, mate. Look, we appreciate you sharing some of your story, and being personal like that, and you just personify what a champion is, and it's been a real pleasure chatting with you today. I know Rob's, it's one of his dreams, and he can now tick that off his bucket list. So thank you very much, and we wish you luck with all the things you're doing at the moment.
No, sure. Thanks, buddy. It's good to hear from you as well. Like we said, it's about 27 years since we've seen each other.
Yeah, it's been a little while.
Well, thank you. That's the Carlin Lade Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
And I'm Sean Carlin.